Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now, listen, I know you're out there. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits. So I have to have on the kinds of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is absolutely no exception. So as always, thanks for being on board. And as always, a big thank you to our sponsor, Corbett Public Relations, where they've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So do yourself a favor. Visit Bill and his team at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So welcome aboard, everybody. Now, for all of you who are on the journey to winning the battle for business each and every day, whether you are the sales professional, whether you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, we know how challenging that journey can be. And there's something that's kind of leading me to today's show. And it's something I'm a little bit concerned with, because we can sometimes be seduced nowadays with the imagery of social media and how those who are superstars in business or in sports or entertainment, how they are portrayed and how they often make it look like everything is just a panacea of wonderfulness. Well, if you've been pursuing the battle for business, you know it is not so. It is a long, arduous, and sometimes lonely journey, and that journey is lined with your blood, sweat, and tears. It's just how it is. That's why it makes today's guest refreshing, his story and his journey relevant and very, very inspiring. You see, when he was a boy, he, like so many other boys, dreamed of being in the NFL. And not only did he make it to the NFL, he was also a part of the Super Bowl champions Green Bay Packer team. He was number 68, was on their offensive line. He's Gary Brown. And he's back on the show for a second time. And I want to have him on because his story and how he did it, I think it relates to so many of us, because it wasn't always pretty. He was often on the fringes. He was the kind of player who didn't get noticed like so many other players who were more talented. So he had to get himself noticed. He had to be willing to be comfortable being uncomfortable and to do what others were unwilling to do. But it worked because he did get the notice that he needed to get drafted into the NFL. But there were, as he will share, a number of near misses on that journey. And I am having him back on the show because what he has done with his journey getting to the NFL, what he's done since the NFL, has really been remarkable. And he does have a brand new book, Reflections of a Champion. And I'm very, very excited to talk to him about that, of course. And like I said, there is a reality in business and in life, and the journey to anything worthwhile, the journey to winning the battle for business, is not going to be pretty. So the conversation we're going to have with Gary is going to be a very real one. It is one that you and I can relate to, unlike so much of, you know, the nonsense that we see on social media. So it is a real pleasure to have back on board the Profit Express, number 68 himself, Super Bowl champion Gary Brown. Gary, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Tim. How you doing, sir?
Listen, to have a Super Bowl champion on the show, personally, it's a pleasure and a treat. And listen, as everybody knows, we're towards the end of January. We're right around the corner to another Super Bowl. We'll talk about that in a little while. I'll be interested to get your picks. But more importantly, your story, as I said, and I mean this, you know, from the bottom of my heart, Gary, it is a relevant story. It is a real story. It's an inspiring story. And again, you've got a new book, which is not just did you make it to the NFL, not just did you become a Super Bowl champion, you're also author of a book. I mean, would you think you'd be at this point in life? It's pretty amazing.
Life has its ups and downs, and this is definitely a up for me. it's about reinventing yourself and keep pushing and keep going forward. And that's, I don't just talk it. I try and live it. I try and live by example.
Well, you, as I know you definitely are. So let's go back to the journey a little bit. you're a local guy. You grew up in Brentwood, and you told an amazing story. I'd love for you to share it again on your experience getting picked up and playing for Nassau Community College, and how it almost didn't happen.
Well, Nassau is an elite school to be a junior college, and coming out of high school, I didn't have much options. It was, at one point it was like, ooh, am I going to the military? Am I going to go work in a factory? Or, you know what? I might as well try college. And my mom has a rule that if she can afford it and she's willing to do it, every one of her kids got to go to college and at least get an associate's degree.
Okay.
My theory was, Mom, high school kind of kicked my butt enough. Do you really think I want to go to college? But, rules of the house, and I'm the older brother, so, again, I have to lead by example.
Yep.
And I went. When I went there, I decided to try out for the team. And when I got there, there were some monsters there. There was guys lifting, three, four, five plates on the bench press, and I'm like, what? We barely had a weight room in Brentwood, and these guys are lifting weights like that. So it was an eye-opener. These guys look like they belong in the NFL already. And here I am, fresh out of high school, with these little arms and skinny legs. And I'm like, all right, we'll try it. So there's a lot of stories in there I didn't tell you about. So one of them is playing at Nassau. One of my biggest lessons in football came when I had to go against this veteran defensive lineman who was like the prettiest thing in pads I ever seen. He had big muscles and shaved legs, and he was one of these gym guys, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm in the back of the line trying to time up how to avoid this guy. And just my luck, I land right in front of him. First day in pads, everybody wants to show off. And this guy gets in his stance, and he's, drooling at the mouth. He can't wait to eat me up. And I was so scared, Tim, that when the coach blew the whistle, I just took off out of my stance, and I hit this guy. And he didn't even get out of his stance, and he fell down. And everybody got so crazy, and they were cheering and laughing and clapping. And I got up humbly and ran to the back of the line like, thank God that's over. Well, the truth of the matter is, I didn't just poke the bear. I pissed the bear off.
Oh.
So now this guy is like, get that rookie back up here. Nobody does that to me. And I'm like, damn. I'm back to the front of the line. I'm like, oh, now I'm going to get chewed up. But instantly, I'm like, well, I caught him in his stance. So maybe he's slow, but I'm going to get an extra jump. So out of the corner of my eye, I was watching the coach. And when I saw him get ready to blow the whistle, I took off again and I hit him and he fell. And right there, I learned that if you're bigger and stronger than me, I'm going to be faster than you. And if you're faster and stronger than me, then I'm going to outsmart you. I started playing the game with a different mentality. I started playing offense with a defensive mentality. Like, I'm going to get you before you get me. I'm going to give you so many misreads that you're not going to understand that. But that carried over into Division I as well. So it was pretty awesome. Me playing at Georgia Tech was great. I was there for a short time. I got a scholarship leaving Nassau Community College, because those 2 years I played at Nassau, I tell you, I went in as a boy and I left as a man. But when I went to Georgia Tech, I seen these guys with this great opportunity. And I'm like, I left a bunch of hungry dudes at Nassau Community College. And here you guys have this Division I scholarship, and you're not taking advantage of it. So long story short, I played my butt off at Georgia Tech, and there was a lot of talent on the team.
Sure.
And there was guys that were supposed to go into the NFL. And, I wasn't one of them. There was like probably 7 to 10 guys that were like being scouted by every NFL team in the in the NFL. And
I
am, a possible walk-on. Maybe they might entertain me to walk on. Well, I didn't accept that. And when those guys were getting called down to go run the 40-yard dash and do the high jump and to do the bench press, I made sure I was somewhere on that field right around them, doing the high jump, doing the bench press, running the 40-yard dash. And it happened so often that sooner or later, the coach was like, well, if these are these guys, who's that over there? And they're like, oh, that's Gary Brown. He's coming off a knee injury. Well, his knee looks pretty good to me. Let's get him a time in a 40. And then, I say when nobody's interested in you, it's just because that one person hasn't come along yet. Because all it takes is that one interest. And once that came, I don't even know what team it was first, then everybody wanted to know what he knew and nobody else knew. So now I became a subject of a topic to be discussed. And then I started, that's how I got my shot.
So then, all right,
I was
so
the
then,
first one drafted.
So that everybody knows Georgia Tech, you know, unless you live on Long Island, you don't know Nassau Community College. But, you know, having gone to a school like that, do you think that actually made the difference? What if you'd gone directly to Georgia Tech?
It made all the difference in the world for me. I think if I would have went to Georgia Tech or any Division I school out of high school, I don't think I was mature enough mentally, physically, or emotionally enough to leave my mother's house. I think even for the first time, I would have really went and fell into the I'm away from home, I could do what I want, I'm my own boss kind of thing.
But
going to Nassau Community College first, you know, helped instill a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Obedience and discipline.
Having
to get up and that drive from Brentwood to Nassau Community College can be 20 minutes or it could be an hour and a half, you know? How am I going to make sure time to get the class on time? And if I get there ahead of time, how am I going to not fall asleep in the car and still make it to class? Because I need to pass because I need to play. So those things matured me a lot. So when I got to Georgia Tech, I didn't look at it as me going to school and playing Division One. I looked at it as an opportunity to better my life and to make a step up. Don't get me wrong, I was a college kid at the same time, but, you know, I had a purpose. I had a focus.
So then, great journey, great experience at Nassau, then to Georgia Tech. You get drafted. So I think it was the Steelers first and then the Packers. Listen, it's hard for the average guy to understand, like I said in the beginning, so many young boys, you know, they dream of the NFL, they dream of, you know, major league sports, and so few, as you know, it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent are actually, you know, blessed to play in some capacity. You were one of them, and not just that, but the Super Bowl champion, which is just the pinnacle. How would you describe what your NFL experience meant to Gary Brown?
As a kid coming from Brentwood and didn't have many sports idols to look up to, you know, I had a better chance of being a rapper than being a professional athlete coming out of Brentwood at those in those days.
I
think it's not about Gary Brown. I think it's bigger than that. I think I represent where I come from. I represent Brentwood. I represent Long Island. I represent New York. I represent my mother and father, my brothers and sisters. So I've always carried that with me. And it, you know, us New Yorkers, we're not better. We're not worse than anybody, but we're just a little bit different. And so I always make sure I carry myself with pride, you know, and let people know where I was from. But making it into the NFL and seeing some of the talent that I passed, you know, I wasn't the best in high school. I wasn't the best at Nassau Community College. I wasn't the best at Georgia Tech. So I look at it like, what makes me different? You know, and one is work ethic, but there's other talented players. So what's the difference? And if, you know, being able to do those things or being willing to do those things that everybody else don't want to do. I've seen great athletes say, if I can't play quarterback, then I'm not playing a sport anymore. Or if I can't be a receiver, I quit. You know, are you hurting yourself or are you hurting the team? Like that decision is not hurting anybody but yourself. You know,
if you
love to play, put your feelings aside and play. And being a team player, that's what that means. That means, you know what, if the team needs me to play this position, even though I'm not as good at it as another position, then I'm going to do it for the team. And I built a career on that because truthfully, I'm a really good offensive guard. And it was great because my assignment's right in front of me. I don't have far to go, and I could deal with anybody that's right there. But I was always a better tackle than most teams had, so I always played out of position. And playing out of position took me from Nassau, got me a Division I scholarship, and got me drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers and picked up by the Packers and won a Super Bowl all because I was willing to do something and play a position that that wasn't my gift, but it was what the team needed. So sometimes, you know, actually, when you look back at it now in life, sometimes when things don't work out your way, it's blessings in disguises. And who am I to stop that blessing?
Now, I know we're talking, you know, again, today's guest, Gary Brown, number 68, Super Bowl winning champ with the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's the Profit Express. We talk about winning the battle for business. And your story is so relevant because just as you had your journey in football, you know, you have your journey in sales and in being a business owner. And you have to pivot. You know, you have to be willing to do things that you didn't anticipate doing. And as you're telling your story, Gary, that's what's so clear. And that's what's so relevant and real. Now, if I recall, because I had you on the show about a year ago, plus or minus, and I loved that first, your first appearance, and I listened to it again, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had started out on the defensive line, but they didn't take you on the defensive line. They said, hey, we want to take you on the offensive line at Nassau. Is my memory right there?
Yes, yes. So okay. I went to try out. Everybody wants to play a position where, look at me. Everybody look at me. Whether right. it's catching a touchdown, throwing a touchdown, making sacks and having a sack dance, or, you know, catching interceptions. Offensive line is the least rewarding position on the field. Right. The only time you get mentioned is if you have a holding penalty or the quarterback gets sacked. When you win a game, the quarterback and the receivers are great. When you lose a game, the offensive line stinks. So that's a badge you wear. So initially, coming out of high school, not knowing any better, I wanted to play defense. And, you know, I tried out for the team, and I wasn't on the made it list or the cut list. And I just assumed I got cut. And when I ran into the coach, he said, Gary, where you been? And I'm like, well, I didn't make the team. He was like, well, I didn't cut you either. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He's like, you're supposed to come see me. I didn't see that note on the board, so I just assumed that I didn't make the team. And he was like, we have too many defensive linemen, but the offensive line coach sees something in you. And trust me, it's the fastest way to a Division I scholarship. And I'm like, Division I? I'm trying to make the team at Nassau Community College. And here you do talking about Division I. But if it means I made the team, and that's what my goal was, then I'll take it. I'll right. accept it, and I'll be at practice later today. And that's how my career got started.
Wow.
It was almost over at the same time, because if I didn't run into the coach, I would have missed a couple of days, and they probably wouldn't have put me on the team. So, you know, those sometimes things work out for a reason and in their own way.
Yep.
You know, stop destiny, you just go with the flow. And, you know, if it doesn't fit, relax and make it fit.
You know what I love about your approach, though, and it's important? Because I started the show today talking about social media, and unfortunately, social media is great, but it can have a distorted sense of reality. The one thing I get, you know, now that, you know, you and I have known each other for a little bit now, is you're humble, and you've put your ego aside. Because like you said, everybody wants to be, you know, the quarterback, the running back, the receiver. But you're just smart enough to say, hey, whatever I have to do, even if it's changing positions, and look what it led you to.
And that's letting go and putting your faith in everything's going to be okay. Dad taught me that, you know, no matter what you do, do it to the best of your ability, and however it works out, win, lose, or draw, as long as you gave it your best shot, that's all you know, be thankful and you know, that's what I take into everything that I do, whether it's business, whether it's sports, even at home. Me and my lady, we play checkers, and we don't do that anymore because I'm a competitor by nature. Like, I always try and put my best foot forward, you know? But that's just who I am. That made me who I am. Sports has taught me a lot about business, and I speak to a lot of corporate entities, and the similarities between sports and how you go about it and how you prepare for it and how a team works, it's everything in corporate America. It's everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the person. You know, me playing offensive tackle and I have a guard to my right and a tight end to my left and a running back behind me, we don't have to go get dinner. We don't have to be best friends. We don't even have to send each other Christmas cards. But when we're at work, we have to be one unit. I have to know your thoughts. I have to know your feelings. I got to know how if you're playing up or down. These are things that what it takes to win. And as long as that person's open to it and I'm open to it, that's going to make us a better teammate. That's going to make our team better in a whole. I really believe that the first part of being a team is being the very best you can be. But the very next thing is, how do I make the people around me better? Same thing in corporate America, same thing in a boardroom, same thing in the working with cubicles next to each other. You don't have
I have to ask a question. Hold on a second here. I don't want this one to slip by. So you're so competitive, you and your woman, you can't play checkers together anymore. She doesn't want to play checkers with you.
I don't think it's best for our relationship. So instead of checking, we'll watch a movie and cuddle with some popcorn or something like that. That's okay. You know,
Gary, you know why I mentioned that?
Why is that?
I mentioned that because I am a nut when it comes to competition, and my wife will not play it, specifically checkers. We got into a fight over it. It was very funny. So I appreciate that one. So now, all right. So, yeah. You shared the career in the NFL. As many people know, and we hear it in the news, we hear it with former athletes. You know, when the spotlight isn't on you, when you're not playing on Sundays, life after the NFL or, you know, any major sport, any professional sport, isn't always easy. What was your journey like? Because I think a lot of people are interested in what we know, what happens. Because that's, I mean, you're going from the biggest of big stages and your ego and people adore you and you're getting high five going into the tunnel. They love you, right? And which is going to, it's leading to the book. What happened to Gary Brown after the NFL?
I came home. It was funny because, not funny, it's funny now looking back on it, but yeah. I came home after, you know, I finished my NFL career in San Francisco. Then I played overseas in Europe for Barcelona, for NFL Europe. And then I finished my career, my professional career up in Canada. I finished 3 years. And then I found myself back home in my childhood bedroom. And that was kind of like, you know, you said you used the word humbling, but I that's not the word I want to use. I want to say depressing because I now looking back on it, I was very much depressed. Like, how did I do all of this for all of these years to end up in my childhood bedroom with a bum knee? I couldn't get a job. Nobody wanted to hire me, but they wanted to bring me in for an interview to get autographs and things of that nature. And it was just, something I had to deal with. I had to get out of my own way with that. And right. My very first job coming out of a professional football career was cleaning toilets. I took a maintenance job. And my buddy got me the job, and he was like, Gary, you don't have to put on a suit and do all of that and bring your resume. You got the job. Just wear some jeans and a polo shirt. I went there in the best suit I had. I had a briefcase with nothing in it because I needed a job. I needed a job, and I needed to wrap this present up as best as I can because that's how bad I needed a job for myself mentally more than financially.
Oh, yeah.
Something to do because sitting home, you're your own worst enemy. And getting to work took my mind off of not playing football anymore. So right. Guess what I did? Gary gets two jobs, then three jobs, and I'm moonlighting doing security work from the Hamptons to Manhattan, working. And it was doing its job with keeping me busy.
Right.
But at the same time, I was killing myself. I was beating myself up. And one day at work, we had a gas leak and I carried a lady down a flight of stairs or a couple of stairs and I thought I pulled a muscle and it didn't get better or worse for some time. And months later, one day I just started going downhill and within weeks I was paralyzed from waist down, lost everything. And wow. When I thought I was depressed leaving football, now I was really depressed because I felt I was an alpha male. And I didn't need anybody for anything. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Now I couldn't do anything. You know, I'm living in a home and I couldn't even make it to the bathroom. I couldn't, you know, the toll it took on me and my lady and the relationship that we had. And she was there, stood by me all the way. But it didn't make me feel any better. It didn't make me feel manly enough or, you know, so that was a tough pill to swallow. After my surgery, which was to stop the paralysis from getting worse, I was told I was never going to walk again. And that was another pill to swallow. And I have all these people, therapists, doctors, and everybody else telling me how, oh, it's okay. You get the car with the pedals in your hands and you get these electric wheelchairs and all of this stuff. And I'm like, that's not okay. Right. I didn't like going out in public with somebody seeing me in a wheelchair. I just feel people looking at you like pity. And that's not who I am. That's not my personality. I don't want you to feel pity for me. I want to be able to do things myself. Right. So I saw a guy on the internet named Nick Wojcik, quadriplegic, no arms, no legs. He had a little foot sticking out of his hip. And he was on top of a stage, on top of a table,
really?
Telling able-bodied people how to live life. And this guy, you know,
wow,
goes out planes, go down mountains, ski mountains. And I'm like, oh my, wow, look at this guy. You know, I'm crying because I can't feel my legs. This guy has no legs and he's smiling from ear to ear and living a life that I wish I could live, you know? So that put things in perspective for me. But his message was, if you want to get over your own problems, help somebody else with theirs. And I just sunk in and it sunk in and it sunk in. And the day I started volunteering at Big Brother, Big Sister, I should have played Lotto because it just changed my life. Like everything just clicked. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I was meant to do. And I was like, well, God, if this is what you wanted me to do, you could have just told me. You don't have to put me in this situation. But I really think that I didn't appreciate it unless I went through what I went through.
That's, man, that is a powerful story, Gary. And so that one quote from him, if you want to get over your own problems, help somebody solve theirs. And that was kind of like, that was your catalyst. That was your turning moment, right?
That was my moment. Yes, that was my moment. And I've been doing it ever since. And that's what leads me into the work that I do. So once I started with Big Brother, Big Sister, you know, it's like once you start peeling back the layers, you see more and more. So after starting mentoring programs, then I'm like, wow, these kids are going to school hungry. So now I'm starting to feed them. And then I'm like, some of these kids don't even have homes. They're homeless. So now I'm working with mentoring programs at homeless shelters and feeding them and clothing them and then picking them up for Christmas. And it was an ongoing thing. And I just knew that this is what I was supposed to do. This is where I'm supposed to be. My mother smiles and says, baby, you're doing good work and just keep it up. My family's behind me. They support me. I get out the door early sometimes and I come home late, but they know I'm out there doing good work and dinner's ready and the beds are made and they're like, oh, I know you're tired, come late out, you know? And that's the support, that's the team that we have, you know? And it's everywhere. Teamwork means everything.
Well, listen, I've been following you for a while now and I see the impact you have here locally and like, you know, the Long Island community, especially with the kids, it's tremendous. And again, so much of your journey, like I said, it's relevant, it's refreshing, it's inspiring, it's real. That's what people want to hear. That's why you're on the show. But so now we have to talk about, so we talked about the college experience at NASA community was great, obviously the NFL, but now you have a new book, Reflections of a Champion. I love that is an awesome looking picture, by the way. That's a great looking cover right there. That just
Thank
inspires
you.
Success.
Thank you so much.
Tell us why the book, how did it come about?
The book started with a trip to Milwaukee. Me and a good friend of mine, Dave Lionheart, that I do Play for Your Freedom, which is a veterans program that we do, dealing with veterans, dealing with PTSD. And we go in and out of VA hospitals, you know, trying to help them get their mind off of what's going on. So I had an opportunity to go back to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the first time in 23 years. Mm-hmm. And I was going for autograph signing. I wasn't comfortable and I wasn't sure how I was going to be received. So I was really nervous about the trip by itself. What if nobody shows up? What if they throw eggs at me? I don't know how they're going to receive me. And So I asked my buddy Dave to come with me. And while we're there, no matter how the autograph signing goes, we're going to end on a good note because we're going to go do what we love to do. And we're going to go to the VA hospital and we're going to deal with veterans and we're going to talk to them and we're going to get them out and play. And no matter what happens throughout that trip, we're going to end on that note and we're going to get our butts in the plane and come back home. Little to say that the autograph signing was a success. There was people there. The lines were awesome. Out the door.
Awesome.
They were like, Gary, where have you been? We miss you. We love you. This is your home. Your forever home. And that was amazing. That was like, it was so emotional for me. And the whole trip was an emotional roller coaster. And so when we got back, Dave was like, Gary, do you mind if I write about the trip? And I'm like, Dave, what are you talking about? Write. You don't write. He was like, I know, but it was so powerful. I just feel I need to put it on paper. So he wrote this piece from New York to Milwaukee and back again. And it was so inspiring and how he captured everything that happened on that trip. Then he asked if he could keep writing because he's the one person that knows and heard me speak the most. He heard me speak on every level from Little League kids playing Pop Warner football to disabled kids to, you know, 99-year-old veterans in wheelchairs. He heard me speak to them all and everything in between. So he knows a lot of my stories. And we started putting it together during the beginning of the pandemic, meeting in the mornings on Zoom, like 6-7 in the morning, a couple hours a day. And before you know it, we had a book with a purpose. And we eliminated, trimmed all the fat. Some really good stories didn't make the book because they didn't have purpose. But everything in this book has a purpose. And it's about overcoming adversity. It's about being the best you can be. I don't talk about what I heard or what you should do or give you advice. I just talk about how I navigated through some of the trials and tribulations of my life.
Right, your story.
My story. And if that can help somebody get through their story, like Nick Wojcik helped me get through his story, helped me get through, you know, my tough times, if I could be there for one person, that makes the book worth it. So...
All right, Gary, let me ask you that then. So you have this book and somebody's story, and that's why you're on the show, it's sharing the story. Stories are powerful. You know, people relate to stories. So it could be, you know, an aspiring athlete. It could be a veteran, like you say, because you deal with veteran groups and helping veterans out. What would you hope somebody gets from reading Reflections of a Champion? What would make it a success for you?
A brighter tomorrow. Hope. Today's society, we kind of close the door on hope in a lot of different ways. People accept the situations they're in, and you don't have to. If you don't like the situation you're in, do something about it. If you can't do it on your own, get help. And it's okay to get help. Trust me, I'm a stubborn dude, and I don't like to ask anybody for anything. It's hard asking somebody for help.
Yeah, you know? I appreciate that.
One of the most humbling times I had in my whole my throughout everything that happened was, I was in a hospital bed, and an intern, she couldn't have been more than 20, 23, 22 years old, had to come in and clean it. Had to come in and roll me over and clean my bottom. And that's a humble, that'll take your manhood away. And when my girl walked in and she saw my face, she says, no, don't do that anymore. I will be here every day, 2 or 3 times a day to do this for him. That was, you know, a moment where I'm like, thank God I had somebody like that. You know, thank God, because I don't know how I would have dealt with that every day. And when I go to the VA hospitals and deal with veterans and I tell that story, they relate to me right away.
Sure, of course.
Especially like in the disabled units or the wheelchair units, they relate to me right away. They're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, you're not alone. You know, you're not the only one that feels like that, but nobody talks about it. Let's open up. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out on the table. And then my biggest lesson to them is, you're going to be able to help somebody else because there's people who've been in this situation before you. And it's people going to be in this situation after you. Now, don't you wish you had somebody like yourself that could talk to them and walk them through it? And that's what we do. And so if you read that book and you're going through something and you're in a rough situation, if you could get some help, if you could get an idea or a good direction to better your life, the book's a success. Even if it's just for one person, it's a success.
Now, I mean, listen, you know, my podcast or show or any other show where when you do talks for organizations, you know, you're sharing it, which is awesome. You're sharing the story, which is awesome. And listen, there are parts of your story that we didn't talk about on the last time you were on the show that, man, I'm even more inspired by you now, Gary, I'm telling you. So, again, I wish you a lot of success with the book. I know it's going to help people that you may never even know it's helped. I mean, I know for a fact it's going to touch people in ways that you might not ever be aware of. I know that for a fact. So I know you got a big event. I wanted to give you a moment to talk about that. You got a big event coming up. Share that with us.
Yes. January 29th, I'm doing my very first fundraiser. Like I said, I hate asking people for anything. So my nonprofit has been running for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has been family and friends, you know, donating for a purpose, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's toy drives, whether it's coats, pajamas, whatever it may be. But we're doing bigger and better things now, and I need help. And so we're doing our very first fundraiser. It's going to be for the AFC-NFC championship game. For those that don't understand, that means that the winners of those two football games in 2 weeks after that go on to play in the Super Bowl for the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
So I felt that was a good, you know, time for me to do my thing.
Sure.
It's going to be at Simplay in Hop Hog. We're going to have, you know, cigar lounges and, you know, beer gardens and all kinds of things are going on. 50-50 raffles, great raffle items. It's going to be a little different than your typical fundraisers, upbeat, up-tempo, represent your team, wear your jersey. Anybody that wants to go, you feel free to go to my website. You can log on to my website at GaryBrownDream68.com. And it's pretty clean cut and simple. But if you have any questions, you can always send me a message on there. Those messages come straight to my email, not to the faculty or anybody. It goes straight to me. So if you got something to say, I would love to hear it. But other than that, come out, support, cheer on your team, and let's have some fun.
Well, listen, it sounds like a great event, number one. Our talk, our chat, our interview today, honestly, Gary, it was better than I thought. I mean, you knocked the ball out of the park today, man. You really did.
Thanks.
Much success with the book. Again, that book, here it is, Reflections of a Champion. I'm a Jets fan. That's all I have to tell you. You understand what that means. 7-4, and we go flush down the toilet, Gary. All right, so listen, it's not often I have a Super Bowl champion on, so I have to ask you. You got to get your picks for the Super Bowl. Who's going to be in it, Gary Brown? What do you got?
Oh, I wish I could answer that. There's so many. Can I give you like four teams and we pick
one? No, come on, man.
You can't discount the Chiefs because Mahomes can pull stuff out of anywhere, and he could he could single-handedly win a game. I'm really going for somebody like a Buffalo Bills. I think their story is very unique. First of all, with their past history and the curse to their fluke loss last year after beating Kansas City, then that fluke loss, and all that happened to them this year. You know, they had snow over houses, and then DeMar gets hurt. You know, there's a lot that went on, and I know that what a Super Bowl does to a community. I know what it does to a city. I've seen it. When we got back from the Super Bowl, there was hundreds and thousands of people in the streets with 20-degree weather for hours following the bus. And, you know, I think Buffalo, the city, could really use that. But that doesn't win games. You know what I mean? So,
all right. So wait. So are you saying AFC Buffalo? Who about NFC? Come on now.
This puts me on the spot. My friends get me to, they want me to pick teams for them. And I'm like, I can't, because if you bet the farm on it and you lose, you're going to blame me.
I don't bet.
Jags. How do you feel about the Jaguars?
Whoa. I'm not a fan, but I love the underdog story. You know what? Gary, I got to tell you, we were at the dinner last Saturday. It was 24-0. My son was, you know, telling me the scores. We get home. I'm like, I'm not watching that game. Oh, what an idiot. I should have watched that game. Oh.
Amazing. And the reason this is why I don't bet, because it's with my heart, because I'm a Doug Peterson fan. I played with him in Green Bay, and he's one of the best men you will ever meet in your life. And then what he did in Philly was amazing. First time coaching,
then
for Philly to do what they did to him to like maybe be in the same situation with the Jaguars, I would love for that Cinderella story to happen.
You know what? I'm with you. That would be incredible story for the Jaguars to go all the way. All right, so you've heard it here on the Prophet Express, Super Bowl champion Gary Brown, Bills Jaguars.
You can't hold me to that. I know Dallas fans are throwing stuff at me right now.
Our Eagles fans. The Eagles fans are furious right now with you.
Absolutely.
Gary, thank you so much for being on board. Thanks for sharing some of your time today. More importantly, thank you for sharing a message that I know touches people when they need it most. Thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Tim. Thank you. Forever
my pleasure.
Grateful.
You got it, bud. All right.
Have a great
day. This is the Prophet Express. Remember to tune in every Wednesday. Look for the show when it downloads on Wednesdays for great shows like the one I just had with Super Bowl champion Gary Brown himself. The book, Reflections of a Champion, it's going to be a great read. It's the kind of book that you should buy as a gift for, you know, that member in the family who, you know, needs that inspiration. Maybe they're going through a tough time. Maybe they're on their journey to a goal. Reflections of a Champion would be a great read for anybody. And, of course, follow me and the show on Instagram at The Prophet Express, on YouTube, all the channels. Hit the subscribe, hit the likes, hit the dings, all that good stuff. And until next time, you and me together, let's continue to win that battle for business. It's The Prophet Express.